There were a few of the spontaneous celebrations in Miami today, like those when Fidel Castro handed over power a year and a half ago. NPR's Greg Allen reports that in Miami's Little Havana, Castro's retirement was greeted with little more than passing interest.
Val Prieto started early today at 4 a.m.
I've gotten about 400 emails this morning already.
Prieto is an architect, but is better known in Miami as the editor of Babaloo, a blog that closely follows developments in Cuba. He calls today's news a tempest in a teacup. Over the past year and a half, rumors of Fidel Castro's death have repeatedly rung alarm bells in the blogosphere. And Prieto says, we've been fooled quite a few times. After waiting for some sign that change may be coming to Cuba, Prieto says Cuban Americans have gotten wary.
It's really not that important. You know, it's a dictatorial monarchy. You know, you have Fidel Castro's no longer there. It doesn't matter. There's still a Castro in power. And as long as there's a Castro in power, nothing is going to change on that island, no matter what. Even if it's a little change, they say little change about this, little change about that, nothing's going to change.
19 months ago, it was a different story. Cuban Americans in neighborhoods around Miami shut down streets in impromptu celebrations when it was learned that Fidel Castro was ceding power to his brother Raul. One of those celebrations was here, outside La Carreta restaurant in the Miami suburb of Westchester. Bernie Bastard was there that day, and he was back at La Carreta today for talk and some Cuban coffee. He says as time goes by, the fact is many Cuban Americans focus less and less on Castro and their former homeland.
To me, it doesn't make any difference whether he's dead or not. I have no intention of going back to Cuba. I came in 61. I've been here 47 years. His regime forced my parents out of Cuba. They didn't allow us to go back. So, you know what? I'm not going back, and whether he dies or not is irrelevant to me.
Bastard, a former officer for Miami-Dade's sheriff, still has a connection with the first generation of Cuban exiles. He came to Miami as a child with his parents in 1961. Andy Gomez of the University of Miami's Institute for Cuban and Cuban American Studies says second and third generation Cuban Americans focus less on their parents' and grandparents' homeland and more on other issues, the economy, health care, the war in Iraq. And after 50 years of exile, Gomez says, even the older generation of Cuban Americans know better than to expect overnight improvements in Cuba.
We're going to have to be very patient, and hopefully, I'm very optimistic that there will be a reconciliation between both the Cubans on the islands and the Cuban in exiles, and that might not be too far away. I think that process will start once Fidel and Raul are no longer a part of the picture. And I think that's when real change will begin.
Gomez says he'll be watching closely for the first possible signs of change this weekend, looking to see what names Cuba's National Assembly selects to serve on the country's ruling council. Blogger Val Prieto says he won't begin to believe change is possible in Cuba until the government agrees to free political prisoners and release its stranglehold on the flow of news and information. Former cop Benny Bastard says there's really only one piece of news about Castro that could still get him even mildly hopeful about the potential for change.
If he's dead and it's verified that he's dead, I may go out and wave the flag for a couple minutes and then go back in again.
More than anything, the main attitude among Miami's Cuban Americans regarding Fidel's announced retirement is suspicion. Suspicion that once again they're being manipulated by the Castro regime. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
You can read about Fidel Castro's nearly 50-year rule in Cuba and get additional analysis on the future of the country at our website, npr.org.